Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I think it's something that everybody loves this part of the show. It's the third hour, and it's the power hour, and we do it because we just like reset, and we know this is the time of day for you where it's like, all right, let's power through
my
the rest of the day.
My ADHD kicked in.
That's it. And yeah, and we also want to get you back on track too. So it's been a thing that people – and I mean this. I walk around the garden, people will yell power hour. I was in L.A., right? I'm at – it's not Staples anymore, but I always go to Staples. Crypto.com, whatever it's called, the arena. And they yell it to me. Where's Bart? Power hour. They yell that. I get people saying it to me when they drive by. I was at a volleyball tournament with my daughter, and a guy slowed his car down, and he's like, hey, power hour. I was like, my man. Like that is – it's become a thing with the show. And when you were gone, I thought, I'm not going to do the power hour. I set it up. I'm not the guy that says it. So we had the callers do it. And it's funny because some callers, they just cannot get their voice, you know, strong enough. So they struggle. One guy sounded like he was getting strangled. It was hilarious.
You can lose your voice.
No. It's not for the meek. So it's become a thing to a point now where I think you're here and it's your thing. But I do like giving callers an opportunity to be part of it as well. So I'm going to let you, of course, take the mic and do it as you always do and set the tone, set the standard, and then we'll go from there. So it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. Bart Scott, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
All right. Now let's see if we get some callers that can match that. And you sound like you're a little out of practice. Like, you definitely are coming off vacation. Get the rust out. Like, you had to take that breath.
Oh, no, that was the pump fake.
Oh, you went pump fake?
That's the remix, yeah.
I thought you had to catch your breath.
Oh, no. It'd take your breath, right? Like, don't pass
like you,
out.
Like, you went down the court, right, made a layup, came back, played some defense, and then you were like.
Yeah. Like, man.
You guys go.
I'm
going to stay back here on D.
Don't throw it to my man.
You can. All right, let's see. So as you know, when I call your name, I'm just going to intro. Yeah, as you know, I'm going to say, it's hour number three, it's Bart and Han, what's that mean? And then you bring it. All right, so we begin. Hunter in New Jersey, it's Bart and Han, it's hour number three, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Oh. Hey, he sound like on Boomerang. Marcus.
You like that one? Yeah, he adds the growl at the end. Did you like that one?
It was clear that he was taking a breath in between every hour. No. Yeah.
See, all right. Scale of 1 to 10. What do you give it? Scale of 1 to 10 power.
I get that a solid 7.
Solid 7. All right, now, James in Freeport. It's Bart and Han. It's hour number 3. What's that mean?
It's the power.
Okay.
Seamoss.
Take it to unconsciousness. Take it to unconsciousness.
Fade to black. Fade to black. Oh, James, that was unbelievable.
James, are you in the shower, man? Don't be calling in if you neg it.
In the acoustic and everything. That was a good one for James. That was a good one. All right. Let's go, Steven in Greenberg. It's Bart and Han, it's hour number 3. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
He went dog on you.
Atomic dog. I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? The power hour in me.
I'll tell you what, though. That like the CMOS one. I mean, that's some serious business. Now, I want you to just rate for, you know, Ty Butler. We love him, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Right. So Ty filled in on Thursday, hung out with me for the show, and I gave him the opportunity to give it a shot.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Oh, he almost died.
Yeah, you could see like it was. He sprinted and then realized that finish line is way down there, and I ain't getting there.
Yeah, it's like when you run the quarter and you get out, and then you forget you get to that last turn, that 100-day, like
Do we have Grasa? Can we throw Grasa up there real quick? Because we got to. Because Ty Butler went all in, and then Grasa sounded like he was getting strangled by Bart. Do we have Grasa getting strangled by Bart? Do we have that somewhere?
We'll have up in a minute.
That's right, we'll have that up.
See, the key is you got to blow all the air out, take a deep breath in, so you got the win. See, you can't, because the power hour is like taking stuff before you say hour away.
Yeah.
So the key is you got to say it's the power, then the hour. You got
it's breathing techniques. Now, Dan Grasso, when he filled in for me when I was out, again, it sounded like when Homer Simpson strangles Bart.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
He's in so much pain. Like, seriously,
straight to the Manuka, honey.
Like, if I could make a cartoon of this, it would be you over him, both hands around his neck, until like all the life is out of his body. That's what that sounds like. Now, finally, I think we go with this one, that Kyrie Williams was a producer here. We all love him. He's obviously off doing greater things elsewhere. But they listen to the show. He and his boys are in the car. And his boys are in the back, and they were getting a kick. They loved hearing all the callers give this a shot. And they gave it a shot themselves. And he sent it to me, and I think it's worth sharing.
It's Barton Hahn. You know what time it is. It's the
hour. How long they go here?
I wonder if they're looking at each other when they say it.
They were laughing. And then they did the pump fake. They did the pump fake, too.
Oh, man, that's so cute, man.
How great is that?
That is a 10.
You love that one, right?
And it's 5 stars.
That is.
Ooh, my baby.
That is a Michelin. Love that. That is a Michelin drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, all right, that's all the fun we have for today. That's the Power Hour. Now we are into it. We are ready to go. 800-919-3776 is the number. So, Bart, we talked about this earlier in the show. Let's just, you know, circle back to it, because I just want to get the story out there. Let's get the details out there. Odell Beckham Jr. was supposed to meet with the Jets today. That did not happen. Why? Because yesterday he announced on social media that he was going to sign with the Ravens. And the source is saying that he's getting it a 1-year deal worth up to $18 million. Remember, he wanted 20. He's going to get up to 18, but the $15 million is guaranteed. He'll have that. Lamar Jackson shared on his IG a photo of him and Odell having a FaceTime conversation. It was just a photo, wasn't video, so we don't know what they're talking about. But still, both look pretty happy. Give me the significance of Odell. Not necessarily. Let's start with this. Odell and the Jets is something that felt inevitable because Aaron Rodgers did include Odell on his wish list, remember, that he gave the Jets a couple of weeks ago. The Jets seemed like they were close. In fact, that they were going to talk to him and meet with him again tomorrow. And we thought that would get done. It didn't. Instead, he goes to Baltimore. What is the significance of the Jets not getting Odell? And also the significance of Baltimore landing Odell for $15 million at the very least, while still trying to get Lamar signed for the season?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is way more impactful for the Baltimore Ravens than it would have been for the New York Jets. I mean, because he wouldn't have been a starter. He would have been coming in, right? Because you know that Lazard is going to start on, you know, maybe the Z or the X. And then Garrett Wilson is going to start opposite on the other side. So with a mixture of Mecole Hardman in there. So he goes to the Ravens, and now you have, you know, Bateman and you have Odell starting, you know, along with, you know, Mark Andrews. You know, if they decide to start with a traditional type of an offense, and maybe Duvernay in the slot or maybe Odell in the slot, but he'll be starting there, you know, which is a difference. So you don't give a guy $18 million or $15 million. He's not starting. Like, that doesn't even make sense. So that wouldn't even make sense for them to start him over Alan Lazard, you know, so how can you pay him, you know, $7 million more than Alan Lazard makes, who makes an annual value of $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it just wouldn't have made sense, and it wouldn't, because usually you have to follow the money, and that's usually where the opportunities come. So congratulations to the Ravens. Maybe that helps them keep Lamar Jackson. I believe they were out in South Beach together, hitting the streets and partying and celebrating the fact that he got it. But the problem is Lamar Jackson hasn't even signed his franchise tag. So what are we saying?
But does it give you hope, though, if, like, again, from a Ravens perspective? Does this sort of like give Lamar a little more incentive to at least sign the franchise tag instead of looking for a trade? Remember, he said he asked for a trade out of Baltimore.
Yeah, maybe to play. It maybe helps him to play. And, you know, people say, well, why would Odell go there? That's a place that runs the ball. Remember, they fired Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, who had the most sophisticated run game, but really struggled as far as being able to get the Ravens, you know, passing game up to NFL top-tier level. So they go and get Todd Monken, who the last time Odell Beckham had 1,000 yards is because Todd Monken was his offensive coordinator at Cleveland, right? He was at Georgia that won the national championship back-to-back. This gives him a weapon that understands his route tree, that understands the offense that he wants to implement, which allows him to teach it to the other players faster. So it's a win for them, but as far as the Jets, there's no way. No way. I still believe that, you know, getting DeAndre Hopkins is a safer bet, you know, if I was the Ravens. But, you know, I know early in the show I said that they can get Jameson Crowder, but Jameson Crowder is signed with the Giants. Appreciate you for giving me the heads up on that, Alan. But what I was just basically saying is they can get another complimentary piece, because what happens is you worry about Mecole Hardman and his health. You know, he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years coming off an injury.
Staying healthy, right.
And you want to be able to have some receiver depth so that – If somebody gets hurt, which all receivers, somebody's usually most of them miss a game or so. Corey Davis seemed like he missed one all the time. You got a good enough backup where the offense doesn't have to change its philosophy. You know, so I believe this opens the door where they lose Odell Beckham. This opens the door for Randall Cobb, who knows this offense very well. Mecole Hardman can play in the slot or on the outside with his speed. So I think that this still gives the Jets the best chance without being financially irresponsible. And this allows them to maybe go and spend some money. Like I said, man, Puna Ford is still out there. I know they went out and they got the Jets signed the defensive tackle from Seattle. But Puna Ford is the guy that's out there that plays at a high level, that's like that traditional nose guard that allows him to sit in between the A-gap and just eat up double teams. They really still, if I could say the Jets have any holes in their game, I would say at D tackle and at offensive tackle slash guard, when you think about versatility. The good thing is about a guy like Vera Tucker is that he showed that he can play guard, and if you have a good guard that can come in here like Higbig, you can move him out to tackle either left or right, and he's going to be fine out there. So that gives you like a swing guard slash swing tackle hit there. I believe they also address it in the draft, and we'll see if they're able to go get I think his name is Ben – the center from the Tennessee Titans, as everybody knows out there, the Jets signed the offensive line coach from the Tennessee Titans to be the offensive line coach here. So you talk about a guy that would know his run game system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be Ben
Jones, right?
Yeah,
the center
Ben
from
Jones.
The Tennessee Titans, and also right. it was you were gone. It was Quentin Jefferson who the Jets signed as a defensive tackle, but
yeah.
you're looking at somebody.
He had five and a half. He had 5.5 sacks. That
yeah.
gives you quality depth, mm-hmm. but you still want a big fat guy, man, out there. You know, yeah, just Sheldon Reagan signed. So yeah,
what?
Yeah, Puna Ford is still out there, man. He's 27 years old, man. So big Puna, you know, he might. The way the market is telling him, dude's 5'11", 3'10". This dude's a fire hydrant.
Yeah,
basically.
No doubt. Right, exactly.
You know, and it looking like he's probably going – like, if you've been out there this long, it pretty much means you're probably going to be a one-year guy. Nobody's going to give you a multi-year deal. He's been in the league 6 years, so, I mean, you talk about a big space eater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go out there and get him, and you probably can sign him for, you know, 1 year, $5 million or $4 million. I think that's money well spent, you know, for somebody who started – on a good defensive line last year for the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, that connection is always there.
All right, Bart. So we're about a little over 2 weeks away from the draft, right?
Yeah.
We feel like that's the the line of demarcation for Aaron Rodgers and getting this deal done. But the deal is not done yet. You've been gone for a week, but I know you obviously, you know, talk to players, you hang out with guys, you like you're connected enough to know. Is there reason for any type of anxiety right now about, oh my God, this might not happen?
No, zero. Zero hesitation that this deal is going to get done. It's going to get done in short order, I believe. It's going to be before the draft, as they want to, you know, get compensation so they can improve the team around Jordan Love this year. The compensation from next year, they'll figure it out, but they know that they have their first soft deadline is approaching pretty fast.
And what would that be?
I mean, I think it's like maybe a couple of days before the draft.
Do you think it's the week of the draft? So, like, let's say it's Monday. Yeah. So it's Monday now. So 2 weeks from today.
I wouldn't be surprised if this deal gets done this week or the beginning of next week.
This week or next week?
Because you really want to go ahead and start setting your board, because you want to be able to have conversations with other teams about other potential moves. If this player falls, how are we going to move up? Right. Are we going to use this year's two and package it with next year's two or next year's one to move up? Right, because it's not about just the Aaron Rodgers pick. It's about being able to have flexibility, move up the board. You know, because ultimately we know a lot of quarterbacks are going to get overdrafted, right? But you look at Hendon Hooker, who some people are looking like, hey, man, this guy was a finalist, you know, for the Heisman Trophy. Before he got hurt, he had Tennessee, you know, sitting right there for the national championship.
He's also 28 years old, though.
Yeah, but it don't matter, because remember, quarterbacks play what? You only care if your quarterback's good for 10 years. 28 still gives them in today's environment.
He's not 28. I was being sarcastic. He's like 24, 25. Yeah, but still, it's just you're going to ask him to sit for – look, Mike Tannenbaum said last week – again, you were gone. I flipped out.
Yeah.
Because he said on Get Up that the Jets should take Hooker at 13. And I lost my mind.
Yeah, he lost his damn mind.
Because, hey, never mind – you know, just let's just understand that the reason why things fell apart in Green Bay was because the Packers, instead of getting more pieces for Aaron Rodgers, decided instead to get his replacement, and that set him off. So do you really want to, before you even made the deal yet, I'm going to draft a guy and say, well, you know, because we don't know how long Aaron's going to stay. And Aaron's like, oh, I guess they don't expect me more than 1 year.
Exactly.
Oh, I guess they don't want me around. You know how he reacts.
Yeah, I wouldn't
you
do that.
Don't do that.
I wouldn't do that at
so
all.
So you're on my side on this one. Thank God.
Absolutely. There's no way I do that. Like
Clark, Swagoo, all of them are like telling Mike, I would do the same thing. I think you're right.
They're Jets.
You got to be kidding me.
They're Jet haters, right? And then that continues. That says, hey, this pick is with Zach Wilson experiment is over.
Thank you.
It's
also that.
So it's over. Like,
you
like,
take
an
offensive tackle at 13, and then you shut it down.
Right, because what's the first thing that can derail your season? Aaron Rodgers getting hurt or Aaron Rodgers under duress.
Yes.
So you got to make sure. Listen, when Tom Brady came out, what did they do? They drafted Tristan Wirfs. They had a good offensive line. They had Jansen. They had Dominic Smith. They made it better, right? And all the kid did was gave up one sack the entire year on his way to the Pro Bowl.
And everybody that says, oh, you can't just give up the franchise to Aaron Rodgers, like that, you can't do that, you can't do it, you
that's
can't
not,
do it.
That's not giving it up.
What did Tampa do? What did Tampa do? What was Tampa before he got there?
7-9, same as the Jets.
And they were also with a quarterback that not only had 30 touchdowns, he had 30 interceptions.
Yeah.
So they were a team that felt like, boy, that one piece can make a difference. And, oh, by the way, what does he want? Well, he wanted Gronk. Done. Like, what are the things that he wanted? And I need to get a better offensive line. Done. We draft the offensive lineman. Like, just do those things that get the guy that you're bringing in who might be 39 years old, but I'm going to squeeze as much as I can out of that lemon. I'm going to get every drop of juice out of it before he decides to walk away. And maybe he has such a good season, he's like, I loved it here. I want to play again.
Yeah.
Great. That's what you do.
Right.
You set him up to stay, not set up for, well, we're only going to have him for a year, so we might as well start having contingency plans in case this all fails. That's the wrong mentality, in my opinion.
Yeah, change of scenery and youth will inject like the fountain of youth in a player, right? Now, I know he had youth last year, but it was frustrating because it was familiar, right?
Different youth. Right.
So now he comes over here, it's familiar, it's unfamiliar, so he's excited because it's something new. Mm-hmm. He's driving to a different place. He's learning his new surroundings. It's a lot more energy. It's just the day-to-day basis
invigorating.
In New York. Yeah, in New York. And the fact that, hey, this is a young team that I identified was on the rise,
right? That was on the rise. And, you know, I can come in and add that. And so you have to ask yourself, and when you talk about the draft, and I would ask Mike Tannenbaum this, is it harder? When's the last time you saw a franchise tackle on the market? You can't get him.
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, you had Orlando Brown Jr., which is rare that you have a guy like that. But that's
the name
I
couldn't think of fast enough. But, right? Dwayne Brown was already past prime by the time he was available.
Right.
Know?
It's because they don't. If you got a good lineman, you don't give him up. Like, you don't let him even come close to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you have an opportunity right now to get somebody, listen, you have two tackles right now: Becton, who you hope can stay healthy, and Dwayne Brown, who's coming off a double shoulder surgery and is 38 years old. The odds of one getting hurt or two getting hurt is high, let alone one is through the roof.
Yeah.
So you might as well get ready for Veer Tucker. You might as well get ready for Veer Tucker to play some tackle this year, and you better get ready for whoever you draft, potentially a 13, to play some tackle, because that's how it usually pans out.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, so we'll see. We'll follow things here with the Jets, and we'll see what happens there with them. Obviously, again, on the Giants front for the draft, it just seems cut and dried like what they should do, but we'll see what they end up doing at 25. Wide receiver, you would think, would be an area for them to focus on, but the mocks lately have seen them go defense. 800-919-3776 is the number, so we'll, of course, keep the calls rolling and also the conversation rolling as the NBA season is now complete. The play-in begins tomorrow. Interesting matchups there. The Knicks have known for a week who their matchup's going to be in the first round. They don't have to deal with the play-in. They will play the Cleveland Cavaliers. There is a player that Bart and I have both identified as the key to the series, and it is not Brunson, and it is not Randall. It is someone else that could be the reason why they win or lose this series. We'll discuss that with you and the thoughts on the Knicks as the season is over. The Nets will play the Sixers. Do they have a shot at all against the Sixers and the potential MVP, Joel Embiid? We've got that to get to. And then there's the Mets, Bart, who they're not off to a terrible start, but there's really not a lot of enthusiasm right now around this group, with some concerns to talk about, and we'll certainly do that as well.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
The Yankees are in Cleveland. They'll play the Guardians. 6:10 p.m. is first pitch. Odd time, but okay. Yankees have won six of their first nine games of the season. Aaron Judge has four home runs already. He had two yesterday in Baltimore. What a show he put on. You get Herman versus Shane Bieber tonight. The Mets stay at Citi Field.
Yeah.
The Padres now come in. Mets are 5-5. Now you get, Max Scherzer, let's see how he looks, because he was very frustrated his last start. Yu Darvish for the Padres. But the Mets start to the season. How do we feel about this? Gets hurt. Now there's some concern about him. Carrasco, another performance where the velocity's not there, not effective at all. Verlander's close to returning. I hope you get him back before the end of the month. But watch Scherzer tonight. It's a big start for Scherzer just to kind of see. He's got to get himself on track.
Right. I mean, you saw him struggle last year near the end of the season. It was reports that he wasn't healthy.
Right.
You love what you see out of Senga. right? And you hope that maybe Verlander can come in and gives you a 1-2-3, and then you deal with Carrasco after the fact and hope that, you know, things can be there. But now with Marte getting hurt, you know, that's when stuff started to turn bad last year, because you know you don't have a bat, you know, outstanding outfielder, but also a power bat. And it brings to question back, you know, the decision not to sign Carlos Correa and, you know, not gamble and take the risk, which seemed like a smart thing, right? Because, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's the most messiest thing to sign a guy like that.
Yeah.
And then he's injured for the duration and you're holding on to a bad contract.
3 years, 4 years in that, you know, again, the plate pops off and he's a mess. Like, we have no idea.
But it's also the messiest thing to do for him to go somewhere else and sign and never have a problem with it again. Right. So it's like one of those things, man. But you miss that type of bat, right? You need power in your lineup. You know, you can have all these pitchers, and you know, we know that, you know, a lot of teams win with pitching, but at the end of the day, it comes to hitting. Like, the Mets have been trying to win a different way than the most recent, like, champions, man. It's about putting the ball in play and being able to put the bat to the ball, and they don't have enough bats. We know there was concern. So if Alonso doesn't hit, if Lindor doesn't hit, like, you're stuck between
yesterday. No one else did. I mean, that's
right. But then you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? So with Marte out, that's one of your big bats in the lineup. Man, they're missing a bat, and they're going to have to address that, right? And you know, I know we laugh and we make fun, like, okay, well, you know, the Angels will be out of it, so they can get a bat and a pitcher. You know what I mean? By trading for, but that probably will never happen, right? That's wishful thinking. But they got to start looking around and surveying, you know, early on. Because you don't want to fall too far behind and spend all your energy trying to just make sure you get there. I mean, you got the Phillies are always going to be right there, man. And you know the Braves are championship contenders. You don't want to have to exhaust everything trying to just keep pace and extend guys that should be getting rest and lean on guys too early and burn them out. Because it's a marathon.
Now you mentioned Marte. Now, you know, again, when they lost him at the end of last season, that changed everything. He was an important piece to this team. And so he's obviously trying to get a base. He gets kneed, right, in the back of the head. And then he eventually has to leave the game. They got him right now as day-to-day. They do want to make sure that – see how he feels today.
Concussion, man, yeah.
Buck Showalter talked about the injury.
We'll see what tomorrow brings. You know, it's between the neck and the – I'm sure y'all saw the knee to the head. He had a pretty good lump there. He's a tough guy. Some of the things you look for. Just didn't want to take any chances. The neck, he had pretty good whiplash there. We'll see how he feels tomorrow.
I don't like when he says whiplash.
Yeah, it's usually not better the next day. I mean, I would probably say at best he should be out of lineup for the next week. You know what I mean? Which means they have to call some people up. Maybe they call somebody up and maybe they can strike lightning in a bottle.
Well, speaking of the call-up thing, you know, a lot of fans were all over, you know, wanting Francisco Alvarez, the catcher, to, you know, start the season. Everybody loves the young players, but Narvaez gets injured, and now he's out with the calf for, like, what 2 months? And so Alvarez has to play. It's him and Nito now. And while, you know, he can get you hits, like you talk about, you need some offense, you need pop, he's got that. He's 21 years old, but he got run all over the plate. They went 5 for 5 stolen bases on him. And, you know, that's a part of it that is a bit of a concern, obviously, for the Mets. Like, you know, I mean, great, he brings a bat, but defensively you still need your catcher to keep teams from running on him.
And last year, right, maybe they don't try and run on him. But now with understanding the new rules.
That's true.
And the fact that you only can throw to first base twice, and on that third one I can just take off because you can't throw it there anymore, I mean, that's going to be in the scouting report. And that's a lot for a young player because now every time somebody's on first or on base, how does that heart rate speed up, right? And especially when you're going one, going two, and he knows that. And then now you worry about errant throws. One errant throw can mess up this kid's confidence.
Well, think about it, right? Once you prove you can run on him, everybody now is going to be like, we can run on him.
It's like Syndergaard at second base, man. Somebody on second base, he just started losing his damn mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a lot to ask of a young player, man, early on.
But they need him right now. Now, as I mentioned, at least with Verlander, the bad news was he, you know, had the injury to the back of the shoulder, right? He had that injury,
scapula or something, right?
It just, yeah, his soreness or discomfort that caused him to have to like dial it back. He's still able to throw, just couldn't throw full, and he couldn't start the season. And they were just wondering how long is it going to take. There was some thought last week. All right, he could be back by the end of April. But Verlander with some optimism about, you know, this injury, which doesn't seem like it's so bad.
Really turned a corner a couple of days ago. The kind of general soreness that I was having is really dissipating quickly. You know, all positive signs, just waiting for that to really completely go away before I step on the gas. But I've been able to keep throwing and also increase my intensity of throwing up to like 75%. So, I mean, I can't give you an exact date, but I feel like I'm really close to being able to, you know, take the leash off. And thankfully, being able to continue to throw, hopefully that buildup is not that long, you know, as opposed to being shut down for a couple of weeks. Keeping the shoulder moving and being able to stay at that threshold is a big benefit in these situations.
So again, and before the end of this month, they hope to get him back. That'd be good. And as you mentioned, Kodai Senga, he's been great. You know, he's been really good at it as advertised. So Scherzer tonight, let's see if he can get himself right, because he the last outing did not look good. Three home runs that he gave up, and real frustration with him, as maybe he's getting sped up because of the pitch clock. Something I thought during spring training he thought he could use to his advantage, but still messing with that. But you still have him. You have Verlander, Senga. You have those three. They'll have to figure out how long you go with Carrasco before you realize that maybe, you know, maybe it's off a cliff, and they'll have to figure that out. But when you have those three guys, you should still feel pretty good. So the Mets and the Padres tonight at Citi Field, Scherzer versus series. Darvish.
And it's a tough series, man.
Yeah. Well, they're 5-5, man. They're 5-5.
You're talking about one of the most talented rosters, man, and yep. A dark horse to win it all, man, is the Padres. This is a real live test.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Padres – hold up. Am I tripping? Yeah, the Padres came here and sent the Mets home last year. It should be a little bad blood, right?
Well, I mean, it's yeah, you would think, but I don't know if that even exists in this sport, you know?
They sent me
home.
It's not like the Astros and Mets, meaning Yankees.
Yes. It's not like that where it's been a repeat thing that you're finally just sick of these guys. It's a completely different story.
This guy sent you home. You don't have this. It's collision course.
Mm-hmm.
They'll see him again. It's collision course.
Right. No, I'm with you.
Got to figure out how to.
By the way, how about the Rays at 9-0?
I hate them.
What the hell?
I hate them, man.
Now you know what the funny thing is about baseball is that schedule can work to your advantage.
True.
Like, and I don't like to be that guy that's like, yeah, they didn't play anybody, but they didn't really play, like. It's so funny how you can get off to a 9-0 start, like a record start, and just have all this excitement about you and, boy, look at this team, and they look like world beaters, and you're like, do they? Or did the schedule just kind of give them the opportunity? I mean, you're playing,
but
no
Alex,
offense, Bart, they played Detroit, they played the Nationals,
but
and they
Alan,
played the A's.
But, Alan, here's the thing. You know they're going to be there at the end. And you try to ask yourself, how the hell do they continue to be a contender without spending no damn money?
Did they beat the A's 22-0 in two games? 11, come on, man.
Listen. Okay, now, listen, they had homecoming for the last, you know, beginning of the season. But we know the Rays are one of these teams and organizations that I just don't understand, like, how they're – what the hell are they doing from their analytics department as far as acquiring these players without having a huge payroll? They're always right there.
Yeah, I mean, they
like
are.
To me, it's mind-boggling.
So I'll tell you what, talk to me next week, because this week they've got a 4-game set with the Red Sox, and then they go to Toronto for 3. Then we can talk.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I guarantee you that zero, you know, somebody's O has got to go.
Yeah.
That O ain't gonna be there when we talk again a week from today.
Yeah, but at what point is that O gonna be 2? Which is still impressive.
You think they're gonna go 5-2 in their next 7 games?
They can sweep a series with Toronto.
At Toronto.
Listen, the analytic later, man. Listen, these dudes, I don't know what they're doing, what they punching in. Maybe they're using what's that new guy, CPAT or whatever, the new AI.
Wait, what?
What's it called? You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
It's a new AI app that everybody uses, and students are writing papers and stuff, and they're saying that, you know what I'm talking about. Stop, man. Yeah, yes. Thank you. Chat.
What did you call it?
Chat?
No, you didn't.
I said chat, didn't I? What did I say? I said chat. Chat. Yeah, but it's the chat AI, man. Maybe they're using chat AI, man, about what pitches to throw to people. Because I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. Every year.
I think you said CPAP.
Oh, CPAP. CPAP is something too, right?
Yes, it is.
That's the CPAP machine for people with the can't breathe?
Yeah. When you snore.
Oh, chat. My bad, chat. Chat.
Anyways, I don't know. Maybe that's what they're putting.
See, who else gonna tickle your liver when I'm gone other than me?
I hear you.
I entertain you so much. You just laugh at me, man.
Yeah,
because you know I'm like Dory, man. You know I have no long term memory, man. No short term memory. Like I'll know CPAP next year.
The best part is that with you, like it's impossible to either correct or fix everything. So I have to let something just. That's not worth it.
And people be saying he's wrong. Jack Allen. Allen don't know neither. Like yeah, you know.
There's just sometimes I'm just like, nah, let that one go. Like,
hey, call in if you're using this chat, GTP. hey, call in because I'm trying to learn about it, man. Because I'm like, I hear they can do proposals for you, all kind of stuff, man. I'm trying to figure out how to get in and not have to pay for some of this stuff I've been paying for. Maybe I've been paying people to do stuff, and they just been putting it into the chat for later.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So you saw this thing with the Dalai Lama?
Yeah,
apparently.
If I was the kid's parent, I would have punched the Dalai Lama in his face.
What did you see that you were so adamant about talking about here?
The Dalai Lama
put
up a little boy onto the stage and told him to suck his tongue.
When you say a little boy, what are we talking about?
We talking like a kid got to be at least 10 years old.
10.
And now he's asking for
– And he asked him to do
he's
what?
He's apologizing. Suck his tongue.
Why?
I don't know. Like, what's going on here, people? Like, that dude should be relieved of all duty, stripped of everything.
So let's just –
Because if he'll do this in front of everybody, what the hell he doing away from people?
Sorry, we put that – let's put that aside for just one second. Because what I felt was more disturbing in our circle is that, as you brought it up a second time, Jacob, our producer, said, you know, I still haven't seen that yet. As if he was looking forward to seeing it. And that may be like, Jacob. That's like on the list of things I don't need to see today. That's on
just,
that list.
I just think he so wants Jacob, to confirm, like, I think he wants to confirm it.
Confirm?
Maybe I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. See, Jacob, are you sure you want to Google something like that just so you could say, you know, Bart told me I said.
Well, you better not do that on our computer.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Not on ESPN computer. You better do that outside. Check your algorithm. Your ass be unemployed.
Like, Jacob, shouldn't that be something where you're like, that's something I don't need to see?
I mean, yes.
It's disturbing, man. I can't believe that. The audacity.
I'm not interested in him in watching him kiss
You just
him.
Can't believe that it's true. Like, you're like, this got to be a lie.
But out of everything that happened this week, that's the one thing I did not see happen.
This was one thing you were not expecting to find?
Exactly.
To be something that is a trending topic?
But I'm not surprised that Bart brought it to our attention, though.
That's I could just see, like, when the show's over, you and Tom. Yes, Tom, I'm looping you into this now, or board up.
Oh, great.
Is it now, Tom is like, you guys are trying to find a computer that is logged into someone else's name in the office and then finding it and then just both watching it and both doing like the damn
Ray,
what you
Ray,
see
Ray,
it?
Ray ain't got nothing around. So listen, when I was in college, yeah, I was all about making some Skrilla. So of course, like it's when we still was using VHSs and you know, they had like, we had the multi where you can make 20 copies in once. Mm. So I was selling copies of the R. Kelly sex tape. Right, and until they said that you're in possession of stuff that can get you federal penitentiary time, I had to shut the operation down. But the R. Kelly sex tape wasn't just him peeing on somebody; it was other stuff on there too. And I thought I was hustling, making some money because I was still burning CDs with Napster back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Making mixtapes for people stealing music.
Wait, you were making VHS tapes when Napster was around? Who was watching VHS tapes?
No, when Napster was around, it still was VHS.
Yeah, because your grandparents had it. Napster was like late 90s, bro. Like we
No, it wasn't, bro. Bro, how old you think I am? Like, I was in college in 2000, meaning like 98, 99.
Yeah, that's what I just said, late
90s. Yeah, so VHS was still there. CDs weren't really there yet. Blockbuster was still around.
All right, let's do a test. Tom, how old are you?
I am 23.
Do you know what a VHS is?
He don't even know what it is. He thinks
I do.
You know what VHS is. What is it?
It's like where you can put like tapes into, like that are like I don't know exactly how it works.
Into a VCR. It's called a VCR.
It's like a VCR, yeah.
He just, I don't know how it works.
Something like that.
He said, I don't know how it works, but.
Yeah, like I'm talking about Commodore 64 or some floppy disk.
Well, that's completely different than a VHS, but okay.
I'm saying that technology.
All right, so Tom, have you ever seen a VHS tape or player in your life?
I have an old one at my house back home.
You have one?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I don't know if it works, but we have one.
He has Debbie Does Dallas.
That was on VHS, we do not have that. No.
No? Can you get it?
Can I bring it in? Is that what you're asking for?
I would think.
Two words for you. Vanessa
VHS
Del Rio. Yeah, Alan, see that? Alan had a poster up in his college room with Vanessa Del Rio. Yeah, Alan know all about that.
Nor deny.
If you want me to bring in the VHS player.
I think that would be great.
Then we can arrange for that to happen.
We have, because Don LaGreca brought in a Sega Genesis. So we have the Sega Genesis.
Hold on, I got a Nintendo. I'll bring Mike Tyson
bring
Punch
that in,
up there.
And
I'll bring
up
Contra. I'll bring up Contra, too. Up, down, left, right, B, A, select, start.
So if we can get a VHS player and then see who has a VHS tape in their house, just to see if we can make it work.
Oh, I just threw one away yesterday. Let me tell my kids to pull it out.
Does anyone have a tube TV still laying around, like in your attic? Your parents have an old.
I might have the TV with the VHS connected to it.
Oh, the combo.
Yeah, I got the combo.
That's special.
Listen, it was a 13. It was a 13 inch. So then, you know, I put it on top of the other TV. I had picture. That's how we had picture back in the day.
That's how you got to watch two games.
Yeah, two TVs on top of each other, picture.
Now streaming, you can't watch two games. You're stuck on one. If the game sucks, you're stuck with it.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.